This is Jim Engster, and thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And a special treat to start our show today, we have Sybil Haydel Morial. She has written a book about her time, an amazing time in America and in Louisiana, witnessed a change from Jim Crow to political empowerment. She outlines her own experiences, her activism during segregation and the civil rights movement, along with those of her husband, the late Dutch Morial, the first African-American mayor of New Orleans, the first African-American student at LSU, and the first black legislator in Louisiana. Sybil Morial has lived an amazing life, and it is a life like no other, and she is around to tell the story. And before we get to the course of that life and the trajectory that she has experienced, what about the current fabric of America right now? What do you make of the way our country is evolving as we speak?
I'm very concerned about our country. I think we have to take a hard look and put our heads together and see what we can do to focus on what our American democracy is and do what we can to ensure that it is preserved and carried out.
For those who lived through the Jim Crow South, as you did, it's seared into the memory bank, the experiences that you went through. Others of a certain age probably have no idea, but in your book you have countless episodes of what it was like in those times. And Sybil, you note that in Louisiana, skin color constituted a sideshow in terms of social relations, both within the Negro community and between blacks and whites, and a kind of caste system, sometimes quite extreme and bizarre, grew out of the labeling of blood percentages. People were labeled quadroons, octoroons, etc. The percentage of white blood gave one privilege in society, so it helped further degrade black skin color and black identity. Those are powerful words, and I'm sure you gave it some thought before you put this in your memoir.
I certainly did, and I guess during my public life and that of my husband's, we fostered the idea that this skin color differentiation and those with lighter skin had more privilege was a sham, and that it was an attempt to divide and conquer people of color, Negroes, African Americans, colored people, which they call all of those through the years. But it was intended to divide and conquer, turn us against each other.
Did it work?
For a while it did. With some people it did, unfortunately. But when my husband came around, he faced it straightforward. And when he went to communities to talk about his candidacy, he said, "We are a divided group. And the intent was to make us weaker, and we need to stop. By law, we are all Negroes. We are all prevented from enjoying all of the gifts of being an American citizen." He said it forthrightly.
We're visiting with Sybil Haydel Morial, educator, activist, community leader in New Orleans, the wife of Dutch Morial and the mother of Mark Morial. She spent her career in the education field as a public school teacher, later as an administrator at Xavier University. How did you meet Ernest Dutch Morial?
You know, I knew him in high school, but very peripherally. I attended Xavier University for 2 years, and I knew him there. But he was not we weren't in the same social group. It wasn't until Brown versus Board of Education, that's the desegregation of public schools mandated by the United States Supreme Court unanimously in 1954, that I became reacquainted with him at a book party.
And did the sparks fly?
They did, very quickly. We talked that night, and then every night after. I was home for the summer. I was teaching in Massachusetts and pursuing a graduate degree. And the whole summer, we just couldn't get enough talk about what was happening, what this change was going to mean.
And before Dutch Morial, you went to the prom with a gentleman named Andrew Young. And that's the Andrew Young.
That's right, the former U.N. ambassador and mayor of Atlanta. We were childhood friends. Our mothers were friends. Mm-hmm. And we were friends. We were buddies. And he invited me to go to his prom. And it was a very enjoyable, relaxed date because we were friends.
At that time, when you would go down Canal Street, were you allowed to shop and dine at the same places as white people?
In my day, in my high school and college years, no. We could not try on clothes in most stores. We could not sit down at lunch counters. We were not treated very well by some salespersons. If we got to the counter first and white people came along later, they ignored us and waited on the white people and then came back to us. It was humiliation every single day when we were out in the public.
Did you think at that time that things would change?
Well, my parents said it always, and they created a lovely life for us. Their friends, family. We had family picnics. We had family get-togethers. We attended educational things at Xavier University and Dillard University, the two black universities in the city. We had a full life, and we were safe and happy until we stepped out in the public. We had to sit in the back of the bus. We didn't ride the bus until we were in high school, where we rode the bus to college and sat behind the screen. So every day you were reminded that you were different.
Well, when you became the girlfriend, then the bride of Ernest Dutch Morial, I suspect that he at that time had no idea that he would become such a pioneer.
Oh, I suspect it was somewhere deep in his brain, because this is something I noted that really surprised me. When he was elected to the state legislature, he was invited to the New Orleans Press Club to speak, and that was the first time a black person had been invited to speak at the press club. And, of course, they asked him about his campaign for the Louisiana legislature and what he did. And then this question came forth. Mr. Morial, when do you think there will be a black mayor of New Orleans? He paused for just a minute, and then he said, I think in 10 years. He said it so cavalierly that to the year, he was mayor of New Orleans, 10 years later.
And the first African-American succeeding Moon Landrieu.
Right. Yes. And he always was a careful planner. Whenever he pursued anything, he planned very carefully. He thought of all the objections that might arise. He didn't just go bullheaded into a challenge. And I think that was the secret to his success.
And I think most people who know you and knew him realize that it was a partnership, that all the great achievements that Ernest Dutch Morial experienced in his life, they would not have happened without you at his side. Would that be fair?
Oh, I was cheering him on. And he was sort of running ideas by me. Now, he didn't always follow my suggestions, but most times he did.
Well, he was a man who died much too young, 60 years old, when he passed away in 1989. And you note that awful day, December 23rd. Did you see that coming?
Absolutely not. No, I did not see. None of the family saw that coming. It was right before Christmas. He took the girls shopping. It was the day that there was an ice storm, a day that I had never seen before. And he had asthma, but it was tolerable. And he did not do some of the things he should have done, I guess because he never had a serious or scary attack. But stepping out of a warm house into the freezing cold is what gave him an acute asthma attack and followed by cardiac arrest.
The voice you're hearing is that of Sybil Haydel Morial. The book is Witness to Change. Henry Louis Gates, Jr. says it's a book about heroes written by one. Donna Brazil puts it this way: contrary to the book's title, this charming, gritty, gentle woman was on the front lines in challenging a segregated South. And Walter Isaacson says a poignant story about family, race, dignity, and love. Sybil Haydel Morial, the wife and widow of Dutch Morial, the mother of Mark Morial, and we'll spend some more time with Sybil Morial when we return after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana. And a reminder that in our remaining moments before we go to the break, this is an opportunity to show your support for WRKF. 855-893-WRKF, 855-893-9753. And we'll return and hear more from the amazing 85-year-old Sybil Haydel Morial. This is Jim Inkster. We're visiting with Sybil Haydel Morial. Her book is Witness to Change, and it is about a life that only she could have lived. From her unique vantage point in New Orleans, Sybil Morial's life spans one of the most critical periods in the history of our country. In a remarkable memoir, Sybil chronicles her life as a witness to and catalyst for sweeping changes, and those changes transformed the nation during her lifetime. And certainly New Orleans is a different place. Her husband and her son both served 8 years as mayor of the great city of New Orleans, the crown jewel of our state. That city remains a vibrant part of American culture, but one with significant issues, challenges. How do you see New Orleans right now, Sybil Morial?
Well, I think that we are in the same boat as many other southern cities and some northern cities, with confrontations with police, with misunderstandings, with different races at opposite ends of what they think America is. And we have to revisit what this country is all about. And the immigration crisis has raised its ugly head, which raises the crisis of African Americans who have been here since the Europeans have come. We were brought here as slaves.
As noted in our previous segment, you're an educator. And you even mentioned Brown versus Board of Education. How significant was that Supreme Court decision?
Oh, very significant. It was the greatest sign of hope in my lifetime. This is the top court in the United States, and it voted unanimously. I think that unanimous vote is significant. And even though it took several years for each state to address it, they had to repeal all of their segregation laws before there would be equality in those seven states. And it was an arduous effort to do that. And so to see us regress at this time is heartbreaking because, you know, 50 years ago we were fighting to vote, fighting for equality, fighting for laws that recognized everyone. And it's eroding now.
Dutch Morial, in his inaugural speech 40 years ago, May 1978, said, "Many years ago, when I was a small boy, I daily passed a beautiful park near Elysian Fields Avenue. Children were always playing there in a kind of freedom that came to them naturally. But because of the laws of my childhood, I was allowed to do no more than look through the bars of the fence. I have never forgotten those bars. They stand forever in my memory as a symbol of a city divided against itself. They are the vital roots of my lifelong preoccupation with trying to bring people together." He died almost 30 years ago. What do you think he would think about where we've come? We've advanced, but yet at the same time, we've not advanced. What's your contention about his legacy and how it has played out?
Well, I think that he would be standing up, fighting again. He would not sit back and say, "Well, you know, we did what we can." He pushed the envelope. He pushed the envelope. Let's get it right. And he would be standing here getting it right with his legal mind, with his political strength, with his personality, dealing with people. He was at ease with most levels of people. And I think he would be standing right in the middle of all that's going on, trying to bring it together.
Another quote from that memorable inaugural address from Ernest Dutch Morial: "I love this city of my birth and my heritage. I'm a product of its past and a symbol of hope for the future, of the old ways of discrimination and disappointment, and of the new time of advancement and achievement. You now give me the opportunity to contribute to the future well-being of this great city, a city like no other, full of the richness of life, of diversity and charm. But it is also a city full of despair and poverty for thousands and thousands of its citizens. If I'm able to accomplish anything as your mayor, it would be to lessen that despair and to open the door to socioeconomic advancement to the less fortunate among us." And as we know, some doors did open, but others remain closed, and the city remains, in many parts of New Orleans, a city of poverty and despair. That would have been a disappointment to Dutch Morial. Why have things not gotten better?
Well, I tell you, Hurricane Katrina uncovered the what was so wrong and in this city. It uncovered the poverty. It uncovered everything that was sort of hush-hush. People of means were shattered. Their homes flooded. They had to leave. But poor people and the working poor who had jobs, the working poor who were living on pensions because they had worked all of their lives, they lost homes and they had no means to recover. It was just too much. And that's the sad story, that we discovered how many people there were in this city that could not recover from the wrath of Hurricane Katrina.
Sybil, what do you think about Mark Morial, who became mayor for 8 years and as head of the Urban League, and how he has carried on the tradition of the Morials being active in public life? He has certainly made an impact on American life as we know it.
Well, all of my children were in my husband's life. They went with him as he campaigned, as he went out to the people. But Mark especially loved it. During the civil rights era, Mark was a little boy, 6, 7, 8. He went to the churches and barbershops and other places where Dutch was taking the NAACP message to the people, where he was campaigning for the state legislature. He went to, he learned at the kitchen table how to campaign, how to reach the people. It was a natural for him. He loved it. And he said to me when he was in middle school, he said at the end of the year, his friends at the school couldn't wait to leave to go to camp. Well, he couldn't wait to leave to go to the legislature with his dad. And he sat there with him and learned how to vote and was very aware of what was going on.
He is pictured in the inaugural in 1978 when Mark was 20 years old. He's got his arm around you. You're the mother of 5 children. And those children grew up in a better time than you, but a different time than today. How was it being a Morial offspring in the 1950s and 60s and 70s?
Well, there were good things and there were bad. I did not want my children to feel entitled because their father was the mayor of the city. I wanted them to be grounded. But they had some really bad experiences where if their father had done something that wasn't accepted by some people in the public, they would hear it from their schoolmates. Take, for example, the police strike. My children really had a hard time during that time because the word was that Dutch had canceled the parades. It wasn't so. He did not do it unilaterally. He brought together the captains of the parading crews, the elected officials, the state and city officials, and talked about what are we going to do? We won't have police protection during Mardi Gras Day. What are we going to do? And they agreed together to cancel the parades. Now, the balls weren't canceled, and people were still, you know, going out at their risk with no police protection. However, there was protection. There was the National Guard, and the president sent out military forces. But they had to suffer because of their fathers. My children had to suffer because of their fathers' positions that he took.
This is a remarkable memoir from Sybil Haydel Morial, Witness to Change, From Jim Crow to Political Empowerment. We thank you for joining us today, Sybil.